This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together to worship God, and it is my privilege to welcome you to this place this morning. Especially if you are visiting with us, if this is your first time to worship here at West End United Methodist Church, we are so glad that you're here. We hope you have a chance to meet the friends sitting around you this morning. We have several opportunities to do that. One is, as we're passing the registration pads down the row, I've seen those already making their way down the row. If you would sign in and let us know you were here, and notice the names of the others sitting on your row, and if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to meet someone new this morning and welcome one another. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation, I would invite you after the service to come out of this doorway into Reed Hall, where there will be Andrew ministers with blue name tags there to welcome you and share with you information about how we're trying to live out God's love in this place and beyond these walls. If you're a college student, we have lunch together with all college students after the late service, so we'd love for you to come back at 12:15 and gather in Reed Hall and go to lunch with a group of other college students. We are at a place in the Christian year where we are about to begin the season of Lent, 40 days of prayer and reflection that guides us into the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. And we have some wonderful traditions that help us to do that. This Tuesday is Shrove Tuesday. We will have pancake supper at 5 o'clock, followed by jazz mass in the sanctuary at 6:30. It's a celebration and a service of rejoicing before the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we'll have a service here at noon and again at 6 p.m., and the 6 p.m. service especially is one that we hope our children and people of all ages will attend. So Wednesday night supper will be on, as usual, at 5 o'clock. Thursdays during the season of Lent, we have noon concerts, and that information can be found in your insert and on our website. And also in your insert is some really good information about opportunities for study and reading a book together, so I hope you'll look into those opportunities as well. But always, the Christian tradition has been the Sunday before Lent begins is Transfiguration Sunday, where we hear this amazing story about Jesus being transfigured before some of his disciples, and they get a glimpse of his holiness and divinity and his glory. So may we be with those disciples on the mountaintop this morning and see Jesus in all of his glory as we worship together this morning.
Thank you. consuming fire.
We have seen the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ.
The voice of God thunders like a mighty storm. Our holy, righteous God comes to us in love to save us. Rejoicing in God's grace, let us confess our sin with one voice. God of all glory, beauty, and grace, we have tried to hide from you, to hide our faces, to hide our sin. Yet you have never hidden your love for us. We have tried to search for you, in temples, in clouds, on mountaintops. Yet you have already revealed yourself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Forgive us and transform us so that our lives may shine with your glory, beauty, and grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our God comes and does not keep silence. God speaks to us with grace and love, saying, "You are my beloved child." This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please join one another as we live out our belief that we are God's beloved children, as we share the peace of Christ with one another, and as you greet your neighbor today. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For being seated, and invite all the children to come forward. It's good to see you all this morning. Have you ever drawn a picture of Jesus? I have. I've tried to draw a picture of Jesus before. Well, one of the oldest pictures there is of Jesus is a painting. And this is his face in that painting. This isn't the real thing. This is just a copy. But one of the things that we believe about Jesus is that he was a human being just like you and me. He was just an average person like you and me. And at the same time, he was also God. So you might hear people say he's fully human and fully God, both at the same time. And that's a really hard thing for me to understand. And it's certainly hard to draw a picture of. But whoever painted this picture did a neat thing to try and show that about Jesus. So, if we cover up this half of Jesus' face, he looks like that, right? That's supposed to be kind of his human face, like us. And then, if you cover up the other half, he looks different, doesn't he? That's supposed to be sort of his God face. Now, one of the things about drawing pictures about Jesus or writing songs about Jesus or even things like things that we say in church about Jesus is that they can never fully capture who Jesus is. And that is okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus is so much bigger than we can begin to understand. But what's most important is for us to know that he loves us and that we can follow him. The story we just heard was Peter, James, and John, the disciples. They went up on the mountain and they saw Jesus in this amazing way and all this light and everything, and they didn't really understand what was going on. But there was a voice that said, "This is my son, listen to him." So I think even if we don't always understand everything about Jesus, we can love him and know he loves us and do our best to be like him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus, who shows us how much he loves us, how much you love us. We don't always understand everything. We can't always draw a picture of Jesus, but we know that you love us, and that's enough for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can go back and sit with your parents or grandparents or friends. About 15 years ago, I had a profound spiritual experience sitting in a Board of Ordained Ministry meeting. Now, I know that sounds surprising, and it was surprising, but it's really true. What is the Board of Ordained Ministry, someone might ask? Well, the Board of Ordained Ministry, B-O-A-R-D, is made up of, at the time at least, was made up of 35 to 40 clergy people and lay people from United Methodist churches all around Middle Tennessee. And it's the job of the Board of Ordained Ministry to interview and evaluate folks who are seeking ordination in the United Methodist Church, to make that decision whether or not a person can be ordained or not. And every year, the Board of Ordained Ministry goes on a retreat around about February or March. In fact, Erin Racine sits on the board right now, and she's heading up to the retreat in a few weeks herself. So be in prayer for her and for the board. It was around 2004 that I got in my car and headed up Mont Eagle Mountain to the retreat of the Board of Ordained Ministry. And we gathered around the tables, and we had all our papers out before us. We had had some time of worship, and now we were getting ready for the business of the meeting. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I looked around that table, and I saw this gathering of people of all ages and races and experiences and theological perspectives, and suddenly everyone around that table looked beautiful to me. It was as if light was pouring out of their eyes and of their faces, and I had this sense of God's incredible love for all of us. It was as if the kingdom of God was right there among us, and I could see it, and I could feel it, and I almost stood up and said, I love you people. Don't you see the beauty around us? Don't you see how amazing and beautiful you are? Can't you feel the presence of God around us and the assurance that all shall be well? No matter what burdens you brought up the mountain, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what we decide in our time together, everything's going to be okay. But as quickly as the feeling came over me, it left. And I didn't say anything. And I didn't tell anybody. I think I came home and told David about it, but as the days and weeks went on, I began to question what that experience was. I mean, that wasn't really a spiritual experience, was it? Maybe it was just the sausage biscuit I had that morning, or maybe something else was going on. And I kind of talked myself out of it for a while. But now, with more time and experience and reflection and prayer, I have come to believe that what I experienced in that moment, in the middle of that meeting, was a glimpse of eternity. One of those moments when God's time breaks in on human time. When everything stops and we get a glimpse of the kingdom of God that is always closer to us than our next breath, but most of the time we can't see it or feel it. Maybe you've had an experience like that before. For many people, it's something happens when they're present at the moment of a birth. Seeing a baby born into the world, for many people, connects them with God's eternity, if only for a moment. Some of you may have had the privilege of sitting next to someone's bedside as they made that journey from this time to God's eternity. Or maybe you've had a glimpse of the kingdom of God that was not so mystical or supernatural, but you knew it when you saw it, or felt it, or experienced it. I was at a workshop this Monday with Tom Long, who is a retired professor of preaching. He used to teach at Candler School of Theology at Emory. And as part of his talk, it wasn't even related to this story of the Transfiguration, but it fits so perfectly. He shared this image of a sewing machine. Now, I'm not a seamstress, but I have an idea of how a sewing machine works. You push the fabric through the sewing machine, and then periodically, pew, pew, the needle pierces the fabric and makes a stitch. And it's as if God's eternity, from time to time, pierces into our reality. The kingdom of God breaks in, pew, and for a moment we can see it. For a moment, we recognize it. One of those moments happens in the 9th chapter of Mark's gospel. Jesus goes away for a time of prayer, as was his pattern, as we talked about last week. He goes up to the top of a mountain. Sometimes he would go alone, sometimes he would bring all of his disciples. This time he brings Peter, James, and John. And I don't know if any of them had any idea what was going to happen on that mountaintop. But as Jesus was praying there, pew, eternity showed up. And Jesus, in all of his glory and divinity, shined before those disciples. And not only that, but Elijah and Moses stepped out of time and came from eternal time to be with Jesus and to talk with him. And a cloud covered them for just a moment. And the disciples witnessed it. And then as soon as it had come upon them, it left. And there Jesus stood as they had always known him, their rabbi, their teacher. And those disciples didn't quite know what to make of that experience, but they knew that they had been visited by the glory and eternity of which Jesus had been a part from the very beginning. Now, some of you may be sitting here this morning and saying to yourself, don't think I've ever had that kind of experience. I can't point to a moment in my life where I felt like I glimpsed eternity or I saw the kingdom of God open up in front of me. Well, I would remind all of us that there were 9 disciples who weren't there on the mountaintop that day. There were only 3 of them who went up the mountain and saw all of that. And for a long time, they didn't talk about it. But after Jesus had died and been raised from the dead, then they began to share that story and share that experience. And what had been their experience became the church's experience, became our experience together. So now all of us get to read the story, and we get to go up the mountain, and we get to see it too. That's part of what we're called to do as disciples. In those moments where we feel like we've seen the kingdom of God, we've had an experience glimpsing eternity or seeing the bigger picture, those moments when God's love breaks in, God's peace becomes visible, the justice of God becomes palpable, we need to name it, and we need to share those experiences with each other so they become our experience together. And like I said, they don't have to be these supernatural, mystical experiences. I had a friend just the other day who shared a kingdom moment with me. He was sitting in church. He goes to an Episcopal church. And a couple of rows ahead of him, 2 gentlemen came in. And it seemed that these were 2 men who probably had just come off the streets and maybe had spent the night on the streets. But as soon as they sat down, a woman sat down next to them and gave them a hymnal. And an usher came by and gave them bulletins. And another person came and sat down and showed them where they were in the Book of Common Prayer and helped them know when to stand and when to sit. And he said, for that moment, he knew he was witnessing the kingdom of God. The people of God, including and incorporating the stranger into the worship life of their body of Christ. That's nothing very extraordinary. That's not something that would make the newspapers. But it's a glimpse of eternity. It's a sign of God's kingdom breaking in on us human beings in our daily lives. Another thing Tom Long said on Monday, he shared something that a writer named Christopher Morse had said. The job of a disciple is to be on hand for that which is at hand, but not in hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is breaking in all around you, Jesus said. The peace of God, the love of God, the justice of God is breaking in. And our job is to be on hand, with eyes and ears and hearts open to see it and recognize it and name it for the sake of each other and for the sake of the world. But it's not in hand to be on hand for what is at hand, but not in hand. We don't control it. We don't dole it out. It's not our job to pass out God's love and decide who deserves it and who doesn't. It's not our job to control and plan God's justice and peace. Peter tried to control it, you know, up on the mountaintop. Oh, Jesus, this is wonderful. You and Moses and Elijah, let's make 3 dwellings and we'll put you guys in it and we'll all stay here forever. That wasn't in the plan. He looks foolish and he's talking out of his head because he's so terrified he doesn't know what to say. God's eternity is not ours to control. What is ours to do is to live with eyes, hearts, and minds open. To say to one another and to the world, behold the kingdom of God. Look at God's love all around us. Do you see it? May we be a blessing to the world. Because things look dark sometimes. There's a reason we hear this story right before Lent begins.
The journey of Jesus toward the cross is going to take us further and further into darkness and suffering, and it's going to look like the darkness is winning. It's going to look like injustice has the day. It's going to look like hate has triumphed over love. But Jesus and the disciples have this moment of eternity to remind them that love has already won, that all shall be well, that the eternal Christ will never be defeated. So let us carry that good news, that hope, that glimpse of eternity into our world. Amen. We have a very ancient creed in the church that points to the light and the glory of the eternal Christ. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join me in the Nicene Creed found on page 880 in our hymnals. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up our joys and concerns of this congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you wish to share with us, please fill out a gray card that's located in the pew racks in front of you. And you can also indicate on there whether you would like your prayer request to remain confidential or if it should be shared. And you can place those cards in the offering plates in a few moments as they are passed down the pews. We have several deaths to announce today, the first being Margaret Owsley Siegenthaler, who passed away at her home on January 16th. Our prayers are also with Susan Metcalf James and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Dr. D. Lamar Metcalf III, who died January 22nd at his home in Greenville, Tennessee. Also, David Furse and Kimberly Pace Furse are mourning the death of their brother-in-law, Reverend Charles S. Farr, Jr., who died February 1st in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And finally, we mourn with John Lewis in the death of his husband, Daryl Ray Brown, who died February 4th. A memorial service is scheduled for Saturday, February 17th in Scales Chapel at 1 o'clock p.m. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of all ages, your presence has been known in each generation. From Moses to Elijah to the voices of countless prophets, you have called out to humanity. In Christ, you have made your glory fully known. We pray to you this day that by your Spirit, we would know the fullness of your grace. Jesus, Savior of all the nations, we come into your presence with prayers for peace, not a cheap, forced peace of human means and false truces, but the deep peace that comes from you. In times when we are gripped by fear and anxiety, help us love one another. Remind us of your boundless love, a love that crosses the boundaries that divide us, that calls us to love even our enemies. We pray for your whole creation, that the world might be as you would have it. May the light of your presence shine down from the mountaintop and illumine the places where shadows lurk. Work among us to bring healing and wholeness in times and places marked by death and destruction, poverty and scarcity, war and famine, disaster and distress. We cannot do it alone. Your goodness alone will suffice. We pray for our community, our neighbors, our church, and ourselves. Search our hearts and know our deepest struggles. You alone can touch the void in our souls. You alone can awaken the flame in our hearts. You alone can bring new life where there was only death. Holy God, hear these petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give our tithes and offerings as a sign that the light of Christ shines from the mountaintops and into the world.
have glimpsed eternity. We have together seen the kingdom of God manifest among us. So now let us go from this place to be kingdom people and point others to the light, love, justice, and peace of our God.